Take Charge of Your Money with myself, Brendan Dale. Conversations on all things personal finance, from budgeting, saving, investing, insurance, financial planning, debt, life goals, and more. Visit takechargeofyourmoney.blog for more content. Welcome to Season 2, which is all about insurance, the various types of insurance you get, how they work, and why you need it. And on that, a special thanks to my sponsor for making this podcast possible. Not a fan of phone calls? With Naked, you can switch your car insurance in under 90 seconds without having to talk to anyone. Get a final quote online, and if you like the price, which you probably will, you can sign up instantly. Visit naked.insure to find out how Naked is making insurance quicker and easier than ever before. Naked, the new way to cover your stuff. Naked Financial Technology is an authorized FSP, and you can see the link in the podcast notes below. As you heard, Season 2 is all about insurance. So I thought, let's start off the season with a nice general chat about insurance. You know, what is it in general? How does it work? Why do you need it? And also, why do you need it as part of your financial plan? Why should you be thinking about these things? So who better to talk to than Terence Tobin? Terence is an independent financial planner, great guy to talk to, really knowledgeable on all things finances. So Terence, thank you so much for joining me on this episode.
Thanks for having me. I'm from a company called Rich Ideas, an independent financial planning practice. And as you said, insurance needs to form part of pretty much everyone's portfolio, but there's a lot of misunderstandings about it.
Well, yes, because it's also quite complex, to be honest. But what would you say are some of those common misunderstandings or maybe common misconceptions about insurance?
That if you never claim, well, what's in it for me? Because I'm healthy. I'm never going to claim because I'm never going to get sick. I'm never going to get ill. I'll never crash my car. You know, act of nature will never happen to me. So why bother having it? And my response to that is, you don't know. And if you do, well, I really need to sit down with you because your crystal ball works better than mine. But we need to protect ourselves against the unknown. And that's why if we don't have a balance sheet significant enough to protect us, let's, for a small monthly premium, make that problem someone else's.
You spoke now about wondering what's in it for me if I never actually claim. So yes, I mean, it does feel like a waste of money, don't you think?
Yeah, it does feel like that. And I agree with you. And I say it tongue in cheek with many clients that insurance is the biggest waste of money until the day you need it. And I've probably spent hundreds of thousands of rands over the last 20 years on car insurance, home insurance, life insurance policies, and I've maybe only claimed 10 grand in that period. So the insurers are definitely winning at the game so far. Sadly, odds never always go in their favor, and one day something might happen that I need to submit a significant claim. But it's the peace of mind that the insurance policies and providers give that I'm happy to pay my 1,000 rand a month to know that if I crash my car or someone crashes into me, my car will be fixed or replaced. And that peace of mind, I'm happy paying for.
So yes, that makes perfect sense. We're paying a monthly premium for the peace of mind that should a certain type of event happen, that we would be covered, or we would be covered financially for that event. Is that pretty much what insurance is?
So Brendan, very basically, insurance is a risk management tool. And what I mean by that is, if an event occurred that could have a financial impact on your well-being and on your livelihood or your balance sheet, as we say, whilst you're trying to grow your wealth, the insurance provider, in exchange for that monthly premium, can make that problem go away. So something as simple as insuring your cell phone, if it gets stolen or damaged, it can now be replaced. Vehicles, TVs, the property you live in. But for me, probably the most important insurance benefit to have is the one that protects your income, which is your biggest asset on any balance sheet, your ability to earn an income, generate an income, and bring that income into your household, I feel should be protected at a premium that you can afford.
So yes, income protection, very important. Do you mind maybe just unpacking a bit more for us? Like, where does one get it, or how does it work? How much does it cost? What does it cover?
So Each insurer will have a slightly different name for it, but essentially it's an income protection or an income replacement benefit. And what it means, or should you be unable to earn an income, generally due to medical reasons, that the insurer would then pay out your monthly income to you, either until you recover, which is generally up to 24 months, or if it's a permanent condition, they would now pay you out either until retirement or, sadly, time of death. And that benefit is quite expensive, because what they are essentially insuring, and let's say you're a 42-year-old male and you potentially could work for the next 25 years, it's 25 years worth of income with maybe inflation-linked increases if you opt for that on the policy. That is now millions and millions of rands. And that's the risk they sit with, that if something happened to you, they would now have to pay that out. And why I feel that is so beneficial is, if you had a 10 million rand asset, a physical asset, a farm, a house, a car, you would definitely insure that.
Mm.
So why don't we insure ourselves?
Yeah. I mean, I guess we have this mindset of, we'll just be all right, we'll survive, you know, get along with it.
We'll make a plan. Sadly, today's lifestyles, people are getting ill younger in life, and it's having a more detrimental effect than it used to have. So, you know, illnesses that used to affect our grandparents are now affecting us in our 40s. And it's those things that then could take you out of work or could have a financial impact on your ability to work. And this is where that income protection benefit is exceptionally beneficial.
So that kind of leads me to the next question, just about the fact that there are lots of types of insurance. You know, you get life insurance, disability cover, income protection that you just spoken about, car insurance, medical aid, gap cover. Some of these are obvious, some of them are less obvious or less known. You know, how would I know what I actually need? In fact, you know, does everyone need all these things? Because it's quite expensive, you know, it's a lot of money.
I think in consultation with an independent financial planner, you need to determine what risks you can afford and what risks you can't afford. So if I may, as a personal example, I don't insure my cell phone. I buy cell phones cash between 3,000 and 5,000 rand. If I lose it, gets stolen, gets broken, I'm going to be sad, but I'll buy another one. But if my car got written off, I don't have a quarter of a million rand lying around to go and buy a new car. So I'd rather pay my insurer that 1,000 rand a month, make it their problem, they can give me a quarter of a million rand and I can go shopping. So it's seeing what risks you can stomach and pay for and which ones you can't, and then finding solutions at an affordable premium for that. But I think a massive one here is understand your policy, read it, ask lots of questions, because sometimes the devil is in the detail.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, that's quite technical though, because especially when these policies are 30 or 40 pages long. I also think it comes maybe with life experience, because I never used to read the policies at all. I would just trust whatever my financial advisor told me. Whereas now, I at least skim read them, or I look out for certain sections. There's some things that I know to look out for, but they are quite complicated, and they're very wordy and very technical, very boring to read. And I mean, I don't know, how do you actually go through it all?
They're exceptionally overwhelming. And you're quite right. The length of them is absolutely ridiculous, but there's a lot of important information in there. And that, again, and I'm being biased because I am in the profession and that's what I do, but it's what I do every day is I read these policy documents. I do annual accreditations. I study the wording that the providers use so that I know which products are best matched to my client's needs, as each one will have slightly different benefits, or the way they interpret the claim event will vary from provider to provider. What you also have to realize is if one provider is significantly cheaper than the market, they're cutting back on something. So you also get what you pay for.
Wow, thanks. Yes, that really highlights the importance and the value of an independent financial planner such as yourself, because you're now able to compare products across various companies and really just get to the nitty-gritty details of what each product is offering and what they aren't. And, you know, I guess you can advise your clients accordingly, because you can tell them, you know, product A is costing this much and they offer you these three benefits, whereas product B might be cheaper, but they're not offering those benefits. But maybe it's sufficient for your specific circumstances. Because, as you mentioned, the stuff is quite overwhelming. It's very complex. So I think I'm willing to pay a fee and just get some help on this. I mean, to me, it's a bit of a no-brainer. But then just to get back to what you were saying just now, the cheapest is not necessarily the best. Car insurance is probably quite a common sort of example to use, because we all know car insurance, and it's quite easy to get an online quote that's sort of self-explanatory. But how would you go about choosing a provider, as an example?
I'd want to know what the most expensive is offering, see what the cheapest isn't, and then see what I need. So like a lot of these things, you've got to be careful of things like your excess. So where it's really cheap, the excess might be high, like a 10,000 rand excess, meaning of a claim event, the first 10,000 rand you as the insured must pay. Whereas the most expensive might have no excess and a car hire and a tow service. You know, so see what each provider offers, but see what you need. So pre-COVID, for instance, I have a 60-day car hire on my policy because I used to travel a lot. And if my car repair would take a long time, I don't want to be without a car. So I pay a slight extra premium for that. With COVID, working from home, et cetera, I've now removed it and just left the standard 30-day car hire. And again, there, Brendan, is you've got car hire, where mine is a very cheapy little entry level, no aircon, you know, none of the bells and whistles. And you can also have ones where it'll match the car you've got. It's expensive. So knowing those intricacies, and I would also want to know the provider's track history, claims history, and ultimately who reinsures that policy. Because often the label on the policy isn't actually the provider doing the insurance.
Oh, and where would you find who reinsures them? I mean, would that be on their website?
It would be on their website. There will be disclosures on their website. They'll have something called a disclosure document, but it'll also be in the policy wording. And it should definitely be on page 1 or 2 of that policy wording, because it is very important information.
Good tip. Thank you very much. So, Terence, tell me quickly, if someone wanted to come see an independent financial planner, you know, yourself or anyone else really, and you only wanted to, for example, reassess your current insurance products, how does that work? You know, can you just pay a fee and then sort of get a task at hand and say, I only want to do this, or I only want to have a conversation about a certain thing? And then you go ahead and you have that conversation. Is that pretty much the process?
Many independent financial planners work that way. You need to ask them. That's exactly how our business model is at Rich Ideas, is we are a fee-based practice for financial planning. So either, like you say, an hourly rate or a task rate, or you know, you're looking to review your entire portfolio, give comment, etc. That is where we are able to assist. And fees are becoming something that consumers are becoming more aware of. Much like you would visit your doctor, your accountant, a lawyer, paying for the intellectual property or those decades of knowledge and experience, if it's for free with an asterisk, that means you're going to be sold something or you are the product.
Or it's just biased.
Whereas paying for that time, it's very biased. And you also need to, and there's wonderful legislation coming in soon, and I think it's going to be middle to end of next year, where a financial advisor is going to be rated on 3 types of classifications. And an independent means that they can now look at any provider. They are not owned, influenced, or set targets by any insurance company. So there's no conflict of interest. And that, for me, is first prize.
That certainly sounds like the way to go, especially to get the right advice that suited specifically to your circumstances and your needs.
And if I can add to that quickly, go and interview 3 different financial planners. I mean, if they're all going to charge a fee, then maybe check your budget. But see their advice And I honestly believe that in the first meeting, if that advisor is, and I know maybe you as the client are coming in because you want to talk about your insurance portfolio, but in that first meeting, if the advisor is already going, but I have this thing and it's shiny and it's cool and it's blue and I'm going to sell it to you because it's cheap, he's being incentivized or paid by the provider or by the product sale. There should be no product sale or discussion in that first meeting. It should be understanding you, your needs, and what you want to achieve.
Okay, so final question. How often should we actually review our insurance policies?
At least once a year. That is very, very important. Then again, at a life event. So if it's now personal insurance, so like your life cover, for instance, should it be a change of job, marriage, divorce, death, child has arrived, or maybe you're purchasing a new home. So there's a significant change in your life. Review it at that point in time. And when it comes to car insurance, household insurance, things like that, again, when the asset changes, so you might change car or you now acquire new things in your home, but at least on both sides, once a year.
Wow, Terence, thanks so much. Thanks so much for all that knowledge and experience that you share, those great tips. And thanks for being on the show. In fact, thanks for being the first guest on season 2.
My absolute pleasure.
And I'm going to pop a link to your social media in the podcast description below, because I know you've got a lot of followers and you share some great stuff on Twitter. So just as a reminder, this episode and in fact the whole season is sponsored by Naked. That's naked.insure, and I'm going to put the link down in the description below. So please check them out.